If you would, this morning, would you turn to four scriptures. We'll begin at 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Then I'll be going to Matthew 24, Ezekiel 3, Isaiah 62. One verse in each of those chapters. 1 Thessalonians 5, Matthew 24, Ezekiel 3, and Isaiah 62. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3, we find what the world's at today. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The world is looking for that today, aren't they? Look at Matthew 24. Our Lord told us that when these things happen, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But see, the elect have the Bible. We understand the Bible. The saved have the Holy Spirit of God, and He is the teacher, and He opens the Word of God to us. Before I was saved, this Bible didn't make a lot of sense. But when I came to Christ and began reading it, boy, was it a whole different book. Amen? And lost folks, they're going to flock to the Pope. They're going to flock to religion. They're going to flock to those places. That's all they have right now. We need to get the Word of God to them to give them the truth. We don't need to be rude about it, but we do need to be authoritative about it. Amen? And firm about it. Look, if you would, at Ezekiel 3. This is what I am this morning. This is what you are when you leave here today and go out into the world. Verse 17 of Ezekiel 3. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. Now, we're in America. We are the Christians in the New Testament age here. And we're to give out the warning as well. Amen? And we're to let folks know, I'm not following Him. He's not leading you to heaven. He's not leading you in God's way. He's leading you away from God. I don't care how flowery he sounds. I don't care how much he mentions God. I don't care if he quotes some scripture out of context. He's not following God. Look, if you would, at Isaiah 62 and verse 6. I have set a watchman upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. You want to come back tonight. Tonight I'm preaching a message simply called Open the Window. Open the window. You're going to want to hear that tonight. It's going to encourage you in these days not to shut up. Amen? Not to quit serving. Not to go silent. We can't be. We've got to tell them before they, our friends and our loved ones and our nation, follow these things right into the pit of hell. We are the watchmen. Amen? We cannot afford to keep silence. Listen, I was Catholic as a young boy until I was 8 years old. Then we began to go to a Baptist church when I was 8 years old. And I even got baptized in the Baptist church. And I tried to be a good Baptist. But inside, there was still no peace. Inside, they were still searching. And I was still failing miserably. I would try and read the Bible, and I wouldn't understand it, and I'd put it away. I'd try and pray, but it couldn't do it. It just seemed like nothing was going on. I tried going to church, but I watched all the hypocrites, and they discouraged me. And I was looking at man. I was looking at religion. I was looking at the church. And I was looking at the wrong place. And thank God, almost 18 years of age, I had some folks in my life that were living it, and a preacher that was preaching it, and I came to Christ. And I got a relationship. A lot different than any church can bring you. A lot different than any religion can bring you. Is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot follow man. We cannot follow any man. Now thank God we have some examples. And as our preachers and men of God lead us according to the Word of God, we follow the Word of God. But we always check them out in the Bible to make sure what they're preaching and what they're teaching lines up in God's Word. And I don't care what church it is, I don't care who the leader is, including the Pope, if they're anti-Word of God, if they're going against the Word of God, we must follow God and not them. They will call us fundamentalists, they will say we're the problem, God told us that would happen, but we must speak up. And so this morning I want to preach to you on why my hope is not in the Pope. Father, bless this morning, Lord. I need you in this message. We need to hear from you. Folks don't need my thoughts on this. We need to hear from your word. So, Father, right now, empty me of self. Crucify my flesh this morning, Father. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Let me be a vessel of honor. Let me lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me send forth your word with authority this morning, Father, of you, that it will stir hearts, that it will encourage hearts, and it will draw the lost that are here. And those that may hear this on CD or on the website, Father, I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We are close. Now, I want you to realize the Antichrist cannot be revealed before the church is taken out. The false prophet can be on the scene. The Antichrist may be behind the scene, pulling some strings and running the show behind the scenes, but he can't go public till we're gone. Now, I'm going to show you that. I will also show you this, that if you have heard the gospel and God has shown you the gospel and the rapture occurs, you cannot be saved. I know there's a series out years ago called Left Behind, but if you're left behind and you've heard the gospel will only be to those that have never heard it at that point in time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Now let me give you some thoughts here. What was happening was there were those that were teaching the Lord had already come. And there were those that thinking they may have missed the return of the Lord. So Paul says in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Folks, the world can't end for at least 1,007 years. The rapture can occur, and the great tribulation can begin. Amen? But this world is not being destroyed until after the millennial reign. So, and that day of Christ there means that not the return of the Lord for the church. That day of Christ there is talking about the day when He returns on earth and takes care of things. Amen? But here we have them, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. When the Pope sits on his throne, they claim he's infallible. Years ago, the Pope said the sun revolved around the earth. Oops. And they said many other things too. They said the earth was flat. And Columbus was labeled a heretic, teaching otherwise. And others along that line. And were even in prison for those thoughts. Oops. Not so infallible, were they? Amen? Long before that, my God wrote in the book of Psalms, He said upon the circle of the earth that the earth was round. Verse number 5. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And you know what? Now that word what, you can write in your margin of your Bible, right? That word what refers to the church. The true born-again believers in Christ. The body of Christ. You know you not what withholdeth, what He might be revealed in His time. Now where does the church, who are you indwelt by as a Christian now? The Holy Spirit. He is a person. That's why you see He and His. Now listen to this, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only He, that's the Holy Spirit, who now letteth will let until He, the Holy Spirit, be taken out of the way. That's happening at the rapture. So what happens from this point on is after the rapture. Verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, capital W, the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. This speaks of folks that have heard the gospel and would not come to Christ, and after the rapture, God doesn't deal with them anymore. He deals with those that have never heard it yet. And so in verse 11, and for this cause, because they've heard of the truth and would not come to it in verse 10, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So I would say to you this morning, if you're not saved, you're hearing the gospel today, do not leave here without trusting Christ. For we are so close that a rapture could occur today. And if it occurs today and you are not saved, you will not get saved afterwards. It's important. It's enough today. So, why is my hope not in the Pope? Well, let's see. The false prophet. Go to Revelation 17, if you would. And we'll turn to go to 16 first. Revelation 16 first. Just one verse. The false prophet here is talking about Revelation 16. It's the first time you really see him mentioned here. And that is in verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and come out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now go to 17 here. Let's see where he comes. What city God's talking about here. And there came, verse 1, there came one of the seven angels with the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. That's what's happening right now. All the leaders are flocking to the Pope. Let's see what city this is. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of men of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations, and her filthiness of her fornication. A lot of that describes the actual Catholic Church and their rituals and their sanctuaries and the golden things and the cups. And if you've ever been to a Catholic funeral, if you've had Catholic relatives that have died and all they go through, I was a Catholic as a young boy, I do remember some things, but I've been to funerals where they go through all this Latin stuff and they all come forward to take communion. I don't bow my head and pray with them either. I'm there in support of the family that lost someone trying to reach them, but I'm not taking part with the priest. Amen? And that. I've had to show the pulpit sometimes with a priest, but I still preach the gospel. And that. And let it go. And that. And upon her forehead was in the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And I saw a woman drunk with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs, and of Jesus. Isn't it, what happens in the future is not going to be the first time the Catholics have persecuted the Christians. In the Dark Ages, Christians were the target. And they slaughtered. You can read Fox's Book of Martyrs and find out what they did to the Christians. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, and with the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, and here is the mind which the woman hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, woman is Babylon. It's the religious center of the world. There's only one city in the world that sits on seven mountains. It is Rome. That is where the Vatican is located. In the city on set, only one picture, place in the world, is Rome. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, and even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, the world's coming together with them, which have received no kingdom as yet, but shall receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. He's got a brief period to control. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now the false prophet's going to influence them to do that, which is the Pope. This shall make war with the Lamb. And he's already said the problem religiously is fundamentalism. True Bible believers, we are the body of Christ. Amen? The body of the Lamb, right? And the Lamb shall overcome them. Amen? For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, thou, the water which thou seest, where the horse sat, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God put their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, and the words of the gods be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The Antichrist is going to turn on them eventually too. In the world. But right now, he's going to use that false prophet to bring folks to him. Now, let's look at the Catholic Church then. And let's consider their teachings. The Pope is the head of the Church, right? He's the holy seed, they call him. Let's see what they believe. Let's first think of a place called purgatory. The Catholic Church teaches that if you die, you don't necessarily go to heaven or hell. You may go to purgatory. Now the priest, if you continue to pay him, will pray for your relatives or you or your relatives to get out of purgatory into heaven eventually. But they never can tell you when it succeeds. You got to keep paying them. Does that sound like something God would do? Is there a place in the Bible mentioned in limbo between heaven and hell? You can search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find anything that even alludes to a place called purgatory. There is no holding cell. It's either heaven or hell when you leave this world. For the saved, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But for the lost, it is hell. Look at Luke 16. When our Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, if there had been a place called purgatory, don't you think He would have mentioned it? In Luke 16, the rich man Lazarus, the Lazarus lay at the gate full of sores, and no doubt may have even been a witness. The rich man, he died in verse 22 and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham's bosom was the paradise side of hell. Now, as of yet, the blood of Christ had not been shed. And so the souls that died could not literally go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. That was not purgatory. That was just where they went waiting for the blood to be shed. Amen? And it was still paradise. They could see those in hell. The rich man saw Lazarus when he died, and he cried out for mercy in verse 24. And he's told in verse 26, between us and you is a great gulf fixed, so they which have passed from hence to you cannot, neither they pass to us to become from thence. So once you're one place or the other, you can't cross over. So you can't. There is no limbo in that. So there's a heaven and there's a hell. The rich man Lazarus is not a parable. It is an actual account. The Lord gave a name Lazarus. Never in a parable did He give a name. He gave the name Lazarus. Some would say, why didn't He name the rich man? Probably because his relatives were standing close by and He didn't want to bring them hurt because that couldn't be changed. The rich man could not be rescued from hell. In that. So we'll turn to Ephesians 4 now. What happened to the paradise side of hell? Well, Ephesians 4 tells you. Ephesians chapter number 4, and look at me at verse 8. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, offering the blood, He offered the blood of the cross, took it to high to heaven, and then led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now He that ascended is it, but that He also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that He might fulfill all things. So the Lord put the blood. When He was risen, He told Martha and or Mary, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended to my Father. Next time they see Him, they're allowed to handle Him. Because He had ascended and the blood was on the mercy seat. We had that lesson some time ago. The mercy seat of God is in heaven. Amen? And the blood is applied there forever. Once the blood is applied, He goes into the paradise side of hell and He takes them on grand parade into heaven. That was not a purgatory. Amen? And there is no paradise side of hell today. Isaiah 5 verse 14, I'm not going to turn there, but it says that hell hath enlarged itself. It was a prophecy. Once paradise side was taken out of hell, hell enlarged itself. And I believe some of the earthquakes we're experiencing are still hell enlarging herself, to be honest with you, because millions and millions and billions of souls have gone there. Amen? And I wish they wouldn't have. Christ died for all men, but all will not come unto Him. It's few that come to Him in that. So we don't believe in purgatory. We're Bible believers. The Pope does. Is the Bible right or the Pope right? The Bible, amen? Now, what about the priest's ability to forgive sins? They have the ability, they can excommunicate you so you can't go to heaven. They can condemn you. Let's look at Mark chapter 2. And see who it is that forgives sins. Mark chapter 2. And look at me here in verse 1. And again He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that was in the house. And straightway many were gathered, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And they could not come nigh unto him for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they laid on the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, to look at this man from a physical point of view, what was his need? To be healed of palsy. But our Lord looks beyond your physical need today. And he knows every one of our spiritual needs. Aren't you glad? And he looked at him and he said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up, take thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Now in John 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. Amen? Jesus Christ is God. In John 10, he said, I and my Father are one. He is God. He can forgive sins. No man. You may forgive someone's personal sins against you, but you cannot forgive their sins against God. Amen? If someone has wronged you or harmed you, you are obligated to forgive them, and you can. But you cannot exonerate all their sin before a holy God. Only what they've done to you. Now, so they don't have that ability to do so. When you go to when they go to confession, and you go into those booths, and you say to Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. And you tell them what you've done. And they probably enjoy hearing some of those things, to be honest with you. And then they tell you to do three Hail Marys and so many rosaries, whatever they tell you to do, that kind of stuff. And you'll be forgiven. They have no authority to do that. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And look here at verse 7. Or look at verse 8, rather. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you think the priest has forgiven your sins, you're deceiving yourself. He may forgive what you've done to him, but he can't forgive what you've done to God. You understand? He cannot. But listen to this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, do I have to go to the priest to get that done? No. When our Lord cried out, it is finished! That veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. And what that meant was every man, woman, boy, and girl that would ever come to Christ now has access to the Holy of Holies, not just the high priest. Our great high priest is now in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the access. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. We have the access in there now. We don't have to go through any man. I don't want to know anything about your life that I don't have to know. You can tell me you've had problems. Maybe you don't share them because you need some counseling. That's okay. But if you don't need to share it, you don't have to share it. Just share it with God. Amen? Let it be there. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. It's not the Pope. Number one, he hasn't passed into the heavens. And number two, it gives you the name right here. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He became our sacrifice for sin. The Holy of Holies was opened up to us. So verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Remember my message last Sunday afternoon? Grace plus mercy equals pardon, forgiveness. Amen? And that's what you find there. The grace and the mercy equals forgiveness. God forgives sins. You can go directly to God. You don't have to go through any man. You may want to come out to someone and share some scriptures to help you understand what that means and to show you the way to Christ, but you come to Christ on your own with the Holy Spirit leading you. You come to Christ personally, and He does it. No one else can do it for you. Now, what about when he says to you, go do so many Hail Marys? You have to belong to our church. You have to be in a good standing of the church. If we excommunicate you, you can't go to heaven. They are making the gospel a gospel of works. And the gospel of works never has, never will work. From the time Cain tried with the best of his fruits of his garden, God rejected it. With Abel, he's always said it's the blood. It's not a works. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. If you think going to church, if you think being a good Catholic or a good Baptist or a good Methodist or a good Lutheran or a good Mormon or whatever you want to pick will get you into heaven, listen to verse 8 of Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to get to heaven saying, well, I kept 8 out of the 10 commandments, so I'm pretty good. No, you broke 2. And to break one is to break them all. You're hanging over a cliff, dangling by a 10-link chain. 9 of the links hold, only one breaks. What's happening to you? You're gone. Doesn't work. It's not by works. If you think baptism or church membership or reading your Bible or passing out tracts or anything else, teaching a class, being a preacher, if you think anything is good enough to get you into heaven, you're missing the point. You haven't found the grace yet. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That takes away their penance. Get rid of it. So we can't follow their purgatory. We can't follow their confession and their ability to forgive sins. We can't call their penitence. What about this? I was in a country as a young boy. What do you call the priest? Father. They call the Pope the Holy Father, right? Well, let's look here at Matthew 23. What does our Lord say about that? See, our Lord knew the Catholic Church was going to start side by side with the true church. In the first 100 years of the New Testament church, the Catholic Church was already in existence, side by side. The true church and the false. Devil never waits very long. As soon as Abel had the blood, Cain had the fruits, didn't he? He's always tried to do that. And so here it is. Our Lord says in Matthew 23, and look at verse number 9, he says this, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, capital F, which is in heaven. He's not my father. He never has been, and he never will be. The Pope hasn't. Neither is any priest. Even when I was a Catholic as a young boy, they were not my father. I had one earthly father, one stepfather, but I have one heavenly father to count. Amen? A heavenly father. You call no man religiously here on earth your father. So that tells me that their priests are taking too much from themselves. And let me give you some other commandments here then. 1 Timothy 4. There's a few last things here about the Catholic Church. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look here if you would at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. My wife's been talking, how can folks believe all this stuff? Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. They're lost. They don't know any better. They're looking for answers. What do they do? And what church does this now? Forbidden to marry. What can a priest and a nun not do? They can't get married. They're supposed to be married to Christ, the nuns are, right? They can't get married. The church forbids them to marry. And to abstain from meats. Well, what happens come Lent? They abstain from meats. You can't eat that. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe, and listen to this, and know the truth. I don't have to listen to them when they're contrary to the Scriptures. They can't tell me I can't get married if they're contrary to the Scriptures. They can't tell me I can't enjoy my meat on Good Friday or Fridays during Lent. They can't do that to me. So, those things right there. So if he's teaching all those things and head of a church that is the great whore, how can I follow him? How can I follow him? The Pope is the false prophet which will introduce the Antichrist and assist him in claiming that he is God. I want you to look at the final destination of the devil, the false prophet, the Antichrist, or the beast as the Antichrist. Look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19. You know, they may persecute us, but the worst they can do is affect my body. They cannot claim my soul. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved this morning? Then your soul belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can't claim your soul. But their souls do not. And in Revelation 19, look here at verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him, the beast, by the way, being Antichrist, was with him was a false prophet, which wrought miracles before him that was deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. And in the worship of his image, they both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Turn over one page for 20 and verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know, if the devil gives you a fit sometimes, you can read that verse to him right there, verse 10. He don't like it. He backs off for a few moments. He may come back with a vengeance, but he'll back off for a few moments. Not because of me, but because of the power of the Word of God. Amen? He knows the truth. Listen, we know my hope is not in the Pope. Rather, my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ as my God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to get done faster than I thought I was getting to get done this morning. You could have sang a fourth song, Steve. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the firstborn, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. And he's before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, and you who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the ministry which hath been hid from all ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, who we present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherefore, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. My hope is in Christ. Amen? And if you're saved, your hope is in Christ. And we are to go take that hope to others and warn them, if they don't come to Christ, what church, what religion will do to them, and let them know what Christ can do for them. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at me at verse 9. Who's going to be exalted to the end? Who's going to be lifted up? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, not Pope so-and-so, whoever the Pope might be, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, are the souls that are in hell. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not the Pope, but Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all God's children said, Revelation 4. Who gets the glory? Who gets the honor? Turn with me if you would. Revelation 4. Let's see who gets the honor when we get to eternity. Look at me if you would at verse 9, Revelation 4. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship that liveth forever and ever and cast their crown before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now listen, those crowns we cast at His feet are the things we've done for Him in this world that He has rewarded us for. But we don't wear that as our glory in eternity. We don't go around in eternity saying, I got 5 crowns. That means you get it. These crowns are mentioned here. And what's done with them? They are cast at His feet because He's worthy. Amen? You don't see those crowns again till Revelation 19:12 when He returns in victory and He's wearing the crowns. We can't repay Him for what He did for us. But we can say thank you. And those crowns are our way of saying thank you. That's why in 1 Corinthians 3, you either have wood, hay, and stubble, which amount to ashes when tried by the fire, or you have gold, silver, precious stones, which make crowns to cast at His feet. The fire purifies them. Revelation 5, verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, they aren't quiet there, and we ought not be quiet here, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto Him that sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Pope. My hope is not in the Pope. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19, we were there earlier, but turn there again. We will finish here now. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You see, the tribulation is over. And the Lord's returning to set up His throne on the King of David, on the throne of David, King David. And He's coming back. This time He's not coming back just for the church. This time the whole world's going to see Him coming back. He's coming back on horseback. We're going to be riding with Him. I like horseback riding, but I ain't ever ridden one in the air. I mean, I've jumped across a few things with the horse now and then, but I've never flown on a horse. That's going to be something, Jerusha. She loves horses. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. There's some crowns I was talking about. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. You can write next to that John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. Amen? That's who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His blood that was shed. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses. That's us! Woo-hoo! Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Hey, we're white and clean. He's washed us all. Amen? We're pure as the new fallen snow. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's the Word of God. That He with it smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture, on His thighs, a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It is none other than Him. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls in the midst of heaven, all the buzzards, Come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God. That you may eat the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of the horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. I don't care how strong China's army is. I don't care how strong Russia's. I don't care what North Korea or Iran has or anybody has, or including the U.S. They ain't going to stop this. He's going to speak the word and cut them all asunder. That's all it's going to take. He spoke the word into existence, and He's going to speak them into defeat. That's the power of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies, the beast being the Antichrist, gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. They're going to gather together. They're already rallying right now in some ways. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and which had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and the worship of his image. These both were kept alive in the lake of fire, burning with fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with all their flesh. My folks, listen to me. Man don't win. The Lord Jesus Christ does. Those that are in Christ are overcomers, because He is the overcomer. And He is the Savior, the Redeemer. He is very God. He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We bow to Him and no other man, including the Pope. I don't have to fear the Pope or the Muslims or anybody else's authority, the Supreme Court or anybody else. We fear God. We obey God rather than man. Now, if man's rules are in line with God's Word, we submit to man's rules. But when man's rules are contrary to God's Word, we go with God. Amen? And we must. And you must go out there and you must tell these folks, there's no hope in the Pope. The hope is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, what is your hope in? If your hope is in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not going to make it. You must come to Christ to be born again. He will forgive you of all your sins, as He as God can do only. He will cleanse you and make you a brand new creature in Christ. He will wipe away all your sins. He will give you a brand new start. He will make something of your life that you never dreamed He could do. So I would say to you this morning, if you're here without Christ, or if you listen to this message by way of CD or on the website, that you would come to Christ this morning while there's still time, before it's too late. You're hearing the gospel. Please don't miss it. If Christ should return, it would be the end for you. Come today. I did it 39 plus years ago. I walked the aisle in church, took preacher's hand and said, I've got to know that I'm going to heaven. I've got to know I'm forgiven of my sins. People thought I was already saved. I knew the lingo, I knew the verses, but the heart hadn't been converted. And I didn't care who was there, who thought what. I walked the aisle in front of my family, in front of my friends, in front of folks who didn't know me, and said, I need to be saved. And may I tell you, God kept His Word. Amen? God kept His Word. And if you'll come this morning, He'll do the same for you. You simply step out of your feet at Jim's invitation. The first verse of that song, you come down front and you say, preacher, I need to know that. We have counselors, just like that morning I came, with Bibles in hand, that will show you how you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We'll show you what the Bible says, not what the church says, not what man says, but what God's Word says. Won't you come? And then, Christian, you ought to come at the altar and pray in these last days, God, make me a shining light. God, let me know that my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me not be silenced. Let me be a good watchman. Let me go out there with tracts, with Your Word. Let me go out there and let folks know the truth. The Word of God says, you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Go out and let them know the truth. Go out and declare it with authority. Don't be rude, but be authoritative. Know what you believe. Go out there and show them in the Bible what the Word of God says. It's the Word of God that makes a difference. They don't need to know what I think. They need to know what God says. And if we go show them that, there's still time, we can reach them. Amen? There's still time. Father, have Your way in the invitation now, Lord. I ask as we go to the song here in a few moments, that are very lost under the sound of this voice, that Your Holy Spirit is dealing with their heart right now, as only You can do, Father, through the power of Your Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that You is drawing them now to Christ, and that right now their eyes and their heart will be opened, and that right now they'll see their need of Christ, and they'll walk the aisle in a moment and trust You as their Lord and Savior. We have counter Bible in hand that would love to take them off privately and talk with them and share with them Your Word, if they'd just come, Father. And then the Christians, Father, may the altar be filled
with your children, pledging to you that they're going to stay faithful in these last days while we await your glorious return. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, P.A. 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA, 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PASTORHERB, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, MAIL.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.